You're listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Good morning, everyone. Well, we're going to learn something this morning. Cryptocurrency. We've got an expert on. Kryptonite. Isn't that lovely? Kryptonite. It's Tony Knight. Tony started researching crypto and decentralized finance in 2015 and has purchased various crypto himself. Since then, he has done a lot of research into the blockchain, macroeconomics, alternative investments, and other emerging fintechs. In 2021, Tony co-founded DeFi Freedom, DeFi, DeFi Freedom, a company dedicated to three key objectives: education, community, and wealth protection. And he's particularly interested in the creation of decentralized parallel economies. And he joins me now. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Rodney. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm great. I want you to treat me like I know nothing about Bitcoin, because I don't. Right? Uh-huh. And cryptocurrency and blockchain and all what it means. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, I can certainly try and paint a picture. Also, I think we're going to touch on open banking as well.
From what I believe. But first of all, how did you get into this?
I've not got a technology background. I had no interest in technology at all, except to use it sporadically in my business. Excuse me. Basically, after the last financial crisis, I started researching the financial system in depth. I went right down the rabbit hole about central banking, how the Federal Reserve was set up, how it's run, and how the whole financial sort of matrix is created. And then as I went along in that search, I came across crypto as an alternative to central banking, with the decentralization of the system. And the books that I read and the information I read, I realized that the system is becoming more and more centralized, more and more controlled by less and less people. So I was piqued by the interest of Bitcoin initially in 2013. I ignored it as total bollocks. And then in 2015, I come up again. I then started researching in earnest. I started dabbling in it just to get the experience of how it works, because I believe that's the best way to learn, is experientially. And then I haven't looked back. I've continued to get pulled along in this narrative, and now I see it's coming more and more out into the mainstream, and it's being used. And I've found out it's been used in the system today. They're just not really telling us. And there's going to be a big change coming into the whole system. The whole financial system is going to flip.
Yeah. You say you didn't have a background in technology. You said you had a business. So you were sort of financially literate through your business.
Reasonably, yes. Not so much on the money, so I wasn't a very good money manager, but I was great at creating businesses and generating cash flow. And I had a bit of a poverty mindset, I guess. But I was an entrepreneur and I was a self-starter, and I initiated and brought great brands to the world. Oh, yeah, to New Zealand mainly, not to the world, but... you know, I sort of really enjoyed what I did, and I was focused on natural health. I was focused on natural products, the pink rock salt from the Himalaya, and aromatherapy companies and good products like that. So the technology side was very much opposite.
Yes. But you had a bent towards stepping outside the mainstream.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely had a bit to that. I was very much working in, but counter to the mainstream, very much so. Trying to just bring good health and products that help us calm our mind, bring more energy to our body and more health.
Where do you think that stepping outside the mainstream in you, where do you think that comes from?
It was in me as a child. I was always quite rebellious. I was a big questioner of reality. I had some spiritual, I could say, experiences that were very sort of off-world and very unusual. I couldn't really talk to many people about it, so I kept that to myself. But I opened up when I went traveling and traveled to a lot of developing countries, particularly India. I went there 14 times. I went to Pakistan to get the Himalayan salt, and that was an experience in itself. I went to Egypt. I went to once you've been inside those pyramids and you marvel at what has been built in the past, Stonehenge, Glastonbury, all these places just totally fired me up about who we are and where we're going.
What was your most amazing spiritual experience as a young boy?
Probably hearing voices, like audible voices, not inside my head, but actually like,
wow.
Yeah, and directive, giving me directives. And so I would follow the directive and amazing things started happening. And one of them was going to India. One of them was going to research quantum physics. There were other spontaneous intuitive knowings that I then became adept at following up on in some kind of action. And then next minute I was on a journey, and it was like this most bizarre, like it was like I was following the breadcrumbs of it was just like following a journey, and I would get signposts.
So
you
would actually hear a voice, like as if someone was in the room talking to you.
Yes.
And they'd give you a direction to do something.
Yeah.
Not tell you why?
No. It was very direct. It was very. Yeah. It was very. Very. Almost. Like. Almost yelled out. I don't tell this many to many people.
I bet you don't. But you're on
radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio.
I've gone past that point of caring about what people think about.
Good
that.
On you.
Do you?
When it first happened, I mean, you must have been like, "What the hell?"
I was a Kiwi lad living in Australia with my Kiwi mates. We were having a great lot of fun. We were playing rugby and we were doing all the Kiwi things, and we were having bit of alcohol as you do, and having a lot of fun with the Kiwis and the Aussies that we met. And then this came out of the blue. And then what happened was I ended up going to the library. One of my instructors was go to the library. So I went, and then a book just fell off the shelf at my feet. It was about quantum physics. I started reading it, and I realized I could see what the words were saying. And it was bizarre. It was like I could download the book. I could scan the book, and I've never had an experience like that before, but I knew what it was telling me. And it was telling me that everything is energy. Everything is connected. Physical reality is not the reality. It's 99.99% nothing or something, but space.
And energy.
So that was like, that changed everything. I mean, my paradigm of my basis of life had to change dramatically. And I started questioning everything, you know, what the politicians were saying,
Wow.
what money is,
Wow.
what's our physical reality is supposedly that's everything. And in material sciences, you know, it's all about the particle, it's all about the thing. And I
Yeah.
was looking at the no thing and realizing that's the source of our things.
Yeah. Have you met anyone else who has heard, I'm going to say a voice, have had the similar experience?
Yeah, I've met a few along the way, absolutely. A few, definitely.
Wow.
And
And do you think that was God or gods or spirit or your gut? What was it talking to you? You must reflect upon that.
yeah, I think it was, to be honest, I think it was kind of like a part of myself, a part of
Talking to
myself
yourself.
in a different time, or in a fragment of myself that knows myself better than I do in my brain. And I think it was like tapping into a field of energy that was more all-knowing and intelligent than what I thought I was. It's not necessarily
I was
God per
listening.
se. It's not a being. It was
Yeah.
more, it was like it's also coming
From
from
yourself.
me,
Yeah.
not just to me. And then, I mean, after that, I think it was like something that, like, it's like, you know, a red flag is waved and it's like catches your attention. And then I haven't had that experience very much ever since, but I have developed the ability to just follow this feeling and
Yes.
impulse inside me, like the intuition. And I use my imagination a lot. I visualize the world I would like to be in. And that also encompasses, you know, what's happening in the world today. I visualize it and then I get signs that
It's
confirm
a
or deny it.
funny thing because I was listening to a podcast and there's this long discussion about how these people hear a conversation inside their head. And when they're weighing something up, they sort of have one side of their brain suggesting do it and the other side of the brain suggesting not. And it's like a conversation going on inside their brain. I've never had that in my life. And this person explaining this said they have nothing else. And then people discussed it, and some people did, and some people didn't. I've never heard of such a thing. And I've always just assumed, like, I only got my thinking inside my brain. And I'm thinking, am I missing out? But it's funny because you just assume that everyone else's mind is operating just like yours is operating, right?
Yeah. And some would say that's schizophrenia, right? Some would say you've
Yeah,
got to be
lock
locked
them
out
up.
for that, you know, if
Isn't
you're
that weird?
having. So it's a fine
Well,
line.
if you start to say you were hearing voices, they'd lock you up.
Well, exactly. That's why it's given
You
it
keep it
that
quiet.
quiet. But now.
When you look at what a central bank is, and when you look at fiat money, which is to say money that is just printed on paper and stamped on a token by the government, and who can print it at will, it is absolutely terrifying.
Yes, it is. It is completely terrifying because what people don't realize is that is contributing to the demise of the system that of
Yes.
which we supposedly are beholden to. I mean, money printing creates the inflation. The
Yes.
inflation doesn't happen of its own accord. It's not a random event. It's, we would say in quantum physics, nothing is random. It is caused by the debasement of currency
Yes.
through excessive money printing, which is getting out of hand because the debt is getting so big, they
Yes.
need to print money to cover the interest, let alone the principal. But and that is accelerating into a race to the bottom.
And there's been no example that I'm aware of where we've had fiat money where it hasn't busted.
Yeah, exactly. It's the ultimate illusion. I mean, fiat yes. means by decree. It means fiat means by decree. It's not a car in Italy. It's
no.
It's a by decree of a central body or a government that you basically are forced to accept this. That's legal tender is mean.
It's a horrid. I studied economics, and funny enough, used to teach economics at university.
Uh-huh.
And I did the minimum of what's called macroeconomics, where you study the banking system and the aggregates. And I would get literally A pluses in it. And I thought it was total bullshit from the moment it started to be explained to me. Yeah. And when I was teaching at university, I would actually teach, and the way they teach economics is funny. Post the war, they have a microeconomics part, which I describe as real economics, and then they have the macroeconomics part, which I describe as voodoo economics. And I'd lecture aside beside these voodoo guys, right? And one guy I carpooled with for a couple of years, and I'd discuss this with him every morning and every night in the car. And he was much smarter than me. But he never, I could never understand why he believed this stuff.
Mm.
So the idea, so historically, you've had something of value that's easy and can be divisible. The classic thing is gold. And it has a real value in the marketplace. It's being bought and sold. And its value in the marketplace is basically what it costs to mine.
Yes.
Right? Which is coming on to Bitcoin.
Yes.
So if it's $300 an ounce or whatever, $1,000 an ounce, people, and you can mine it for $600 an ounce, people will be mining it away until it becomes into an equilibrium. So it's a real tangible thing, and no one person controls the supply of gold. It's completely decentralized. Historically, when they bought out dollar notes or pound notes, they would have to be backed by the bank with gold in their vault. Otherwise, they were committing a fraud.
Exactly.
So you'd turn up with a £1 note and they'd give it to you, and you could walk into the bank and you could say, I want to convert my £1 note to £1's worth of gold. And they'd have to run away and get it, right? Because if they were issuing pound notes without gold backing it, it's fraudulent. But then, going right back to ancient times, Roman times, before the Romans, the Greeks, kings and despots and tyrants, and subsequently democratic governments, would create money, print it, say, this is the legal tender, you have to accept this. Originally with a gold standard backing it, so they were limited. And then off the gold standard, when America went off the gold standard in the early 1970s, that's how recent it is. Once you're off the gold standard, you can print money at will. A government can print money at will.
Yeah, and therein lies the big issue about why crypto is coming
yes.
to replace that.
That's right. I can understand all this that up to this point. So a government can create or print a $100 bill for less than a cent.
Yeah.
And buy $100 worth of resources for it. Now, if it does it beyond the demand for money, then you have the money being debased. And the money being debased is inflation. We get everything confused. We think inflation is prices going up. It's not. That's a consequence. It's the debasement of the money. And of course, politicians are famous for pointing the finger at everyone about what's causing prices to rise, but it's actually them debasing the money. The present government, or the previous government, wasn't it printing $750 million a week during the pandemic? Something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's off the charts.
Off the chart.
Globally, they printed about 40% of all the money they've ever printed. They printed in that COVID period. COVID was a major acceleration.
Yes.
Of the demise of the existing system, and so you've got to ask yourself: is that been done by deliberately?
Yes.
In order to bring in a new solution. And
yes.
I think that it is. And without being too conspiratorial, you only have to look at the facts to see that there are a lot of things that don't add up. Lot of the amount of money that's printed, you know, a lot of the money that's printed never reaches our hands. That's the big problem, is they print the money and financialize the system.
Yeah.
So the money printing is leaving us open to a lot of corruption. So enter Bitcoin.
I just want to back up a point. Sorry, I'm going to get to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So we had the Reserve Bank Act famously in 1989 when inflation got out of control, and set up a proxy system, if you will, where we could stabilize the value of the dollar. And that was the governor's job. We've basically destroyed that act by adding unemployment and all these other funny things. And then, as you say, the COVID hit and we ignored the act. Because like in COVID, you could ignore everything. You could ignore economics. You could ignore the laws of gravity. You could ignore science. Everything was a whole new world. And I recall when they were printing money at this atrocious pace by basically borrowing money off the Reserve Bank, it was disgusting.
Mm.
It was cheating everyone, bar the bankers. Journalists breathlessly writing about how amazing it is because we're coming through these lockdowns like it's not affecting the economy.
And
you're looking at this, and just for everyone's interest, it's important to distinguish, isn't it, Tony? There's a real economy, which is people working and producing and supplying services.
Uh-huh.
And that's the actual economy. That's what produces things. And then there's the money system. And people get the two mixed up.
Yes.
And they're looking at the money system. And if you're printing money like a madman, you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
Because basically you're tricking everyone that when you give them $100, they think it's $100 still, but actually it's become 90 or 80 or 70.
It's like what I learned in quantum physics, that 99.99% of everything is kind of an illusion.
They use the phrase in economics. The entire point of aiming for full employment by printing money is to create a money illusion.
Yeah.
That the money has a greater value than you think the money has more value than it does, because you're not aware that the government is debasing it.
No.
And you're robbing every working person, every future person.
It's legalized theft.
It is theft. It is tax. Taxes legalized theft. Printing money is legalized theft. It's totally atrocious. Now, typically, people have rushed to gold because they've said the great thing about gold is that it endures, It has all the features of money, but no one can control it. And you can put it in your pocket and you can head overseas and you've got gold. Whereas that phrase, I couldn't give a continental, that referred to a continental dollar. When they became worthless in the Civil War. Was it Civil War? Independence War, probably Independence War, because they were printing it. So gold has and silver and other precious metals and land, but land is hard to put into your pocket, have typically been where people go. And here we are in the modern era where we have this thing called crypto. What is that?
Right, so crypto is a new iteration of money, of how it's produced and how it's transacted and how it's stored and accounted for. So crypto is the, you could say, that is the byproduct of what happens in a blockchain. Wherever a blockchain is, it's like that is where the action is happening. And blockchains are protocols. They are not just any old code. They are protocols. We have protocols now. HTTPS is a protocol, the web system. SMTP is a protocol for email. TCP/IP is the protocol that enables us to talk on this platform and connects all our computers, and we all have an IP address. So blockchain is a new type of computing system without the hardware, and it's run on these protocols that are immutable. They cannot be changed. They cannot be intervened by a human. We need humans, we need good humans to create the protocols, but once they're released, that it's set and forget almost. So these...
See, that's a bit I struggle with. How can I set up a program and release it and not be able to fiddle with it?
Well, you can. There is, verify, don't trust. So there's a lot of verification that's going on. There's a lot of beta testing.
I see.
There's a lot of testing it out onto small groups. I've been part of a beta test for a new blockchain. And that's also, bear that in mind, there's not just one blockchain. There's many hundreds of types of blockchains because it's coming from open source code. But Bitcoin was the first, it wasn't just the first crypto, it was the first blockchain that was released to the public.
And if you wanted a definition of a blockchain, what is it?
I'd say it's basically a computing system that records everything forever in an immutable way. And it's basically a software, encrypted software code that ensures everything runs the way it's supposed to be run. It's also blocks refer to like a encrypted container, and then that block is filled with a certain amount of transactions. It creates the chain to a new block, and then that's the blockchain. How we can put a search engine into that blockchain and every transaction is actually transparent. The fact that blockchains are creating total privacy, or certainly in the case of Bitcoin, is false. It's transparency we need, but it's pseudonymous, not anonymous. In other words, we are assigned an address that's about like, you know, X 40 characters long, but it doesn't give our name and address. But you have a search engine into blockchain, just like you have a search engine for the whole internet. And that can pull up all the transactions forever. They cannot be changed and they cannot be deleted. So that's what gives a lot of blockchain its power. So the code also is creating I'll just say this one other thing. It's creating the crypto by limited supply, depending on the coder and their objective of how many crypto they want to bring into existence, but they're all in limited supply, unlike money printing.
So, when you buy, when you entered this market and bought a Bitcoin or some Bitcoins, what were you buying?
What you're buying is basically a decentralized protocol that provides you with proof of ownership, control over that money, and you're buying into a community of other people that, like, money only has value if enough people believe in it. And because the existing system is so broken and it's so centralized, this is giving proof of ownership of your money and full control in your hands of how you wish to spend it and how you can use it. It's giving people another option of a value that's, they say it's the internet of value,
Is.
because Bitcoin, or Bitcoin is actually not. Funnily enough, Bitcoin started this all off, but Bitcoin is not my, I don't hold any Bitcoin now, and Bitcoin is not, to me, where we should be looking. Bitcoin, to me, is the biggest distraction to the biggest disruption that is happening in the financial system today. Bitcoin has been slowly mothballed into the Wall Street machine and BlackRock and Fidelity and these huge hedge funds, which are really the ones that are actually pulling the strings. They're buying up Bitcoin like crazy because of this exchange traded fund, the ETF. So this is where it gets complex. The
You
actual,
lost me.
yeah. So ETF, exchange traded fund, is basically where what BlackRock are doing is they're buying, they issue this exchange traded fund is like you getting a share of the profit. It's like shareholding in Bitcoin without holding the Bitcoin.
Okay. So they've
And
become an intermediary.
they become an intermediary and they are slowly creating a centralized aspect of the decentralized Bitcoin.
Okay.
Because you're not the holder of the underlying
Got
asset,
it. So
you're
what would
holding.
be a typical example of a cryptocurrency of which you would approve?
Look, there's many, many different use cases of crypto, and there's ones that I approve. The real decentralized ones are. There's ones like Chainlink. There's a few of them, but there's not
Okay.
many. There's not many that I would really. But
So
what
let's take Chainlink, right, as an example.
yeah.
So, because I've got to have a name to refer to for ease, right?
Yeah.
Instead of using Bitcoin, which is
Yeah.
triggering. So I've got Chainlink. To all intents and purposes, I buy some Chainlink and I just have a little balance sheet, like a check account, and it'll say you have 100 units of Chainlink, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Like, I don't need to
And you're in
know.
a digital wallet, which is like your crypto bank, if you
Yeah,
like. The wallet becomes a bank.
on my laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
So I can see I got 100, and it's no different to me checking my BNZ bank account.
Not really, no, it's not really any different.
So I get that. And then behind it all is this miracle of technology, very, very tough encryption, which a mortal struggles to understand, how the blockchains work, how it's all recorded, where this thing was created, and all the rest of it. But in a funny way, I could have more confidence in this than the government's money, because this thing, the manipulation is transparent if anyone tried to do it.
Exactly.
Now, this is where I get stuck, because, well, I get stuck in lots of places. if I bought something, right, can I just use my crypto chain? Was that the one you described? Crypto chain. If I wanted, I go online and I'm ordering a part for my car and they go to PayPal. And I pay it with PayPal, which I don't understand either, right? Or I buy it on my BNZ credit card, again, which I don't understand, right?
Yeah.
But can I use my crypto chain?
If they had a wallet and they were prepared to accept it, absolutely you could. You can do it. This is the beauty. This is the underpinning of what decentralization is peer-to-peer transacting. And all that person needs to do is have the wallet and agree to it. And this is what's happening. It's not yet sanctioned. It's not yet mainstream. But it's happening in an e-commerce. It's happening in an organic way globally because there is such a need for it, predominantly being driven by developing countries, particularly Latin America, South America, India, and Africa. They have been on the outer of the global financial system for a long time. They have been screwed over. They have been manipulated by the IMF and the World Bank forever, using debt, and they are the ones that are driving it. It is like this bottom-up movement that hasn't yet broken the surface, but it's about to. And this is what I'm doing is, so when regulations is another hot topic around this, when they come in, and it's partly been brought in under the guise of open banking. Sounds very lovely, doesn't it? All open, you know, it's all open. But there's a lot of hidden aspects to it that people don't see, just like we don't understand that energy creates matter. We don't see the invisible. We only see, we judge things from our five senses and particularly our eyes.
Yes.
And so if we can't see it, then it doesn't exist. That's how we tend to evaluate things.
Sure.
But
and I mean, that's why.
This is coming back to my quantum physics learning, because hang on a minute. We know that energy is where manifestation happens, right? And this is how we've got to apply this kind of inquiry or thinking mindset to crypto and look a little deeper than social media and what mainstream are telling us. They are full of lies. Yes. So what I have done is I've just gone deeper to see what is actually happening with crypto. It's not my belief that it should or shouldn't come. It's not necessarily my belief. I'm not promoting crypto. The fact is the crypto train is already running, and this is going to underpin a new system for the world. The BRICS nations, Russia, China, Brazil, South Africa, and their allies are making sure of that at the top, and at the bottom, all the developers that are developing amazing decentralized and private ID identifiers, they are developing it at the ground up level. And there's going to be a meeting in the middle of, a confluence of a lot of ideologies. And so the technology, the protocol, I said, is immutable. That is running the show here. That is beyond human intervention. And so what we're going to see is we're going to get to see a whole new system, and crypto will become payment enabled. We will be able to buy things from the supermarket using your crypto. You will be able to buy just about anything with any crypto but the crypto that's coming into the world. And I'm particularly looking to your original question, what would I buy? Look at the standard that's coming in called ISO 222. That is hugely important because that is the new basic underpinning of a new banking system. It is done under the guise of open banking. Some people refer to it as the quantum financial system. Some people refer to it as, an Agnissara aspect. I actually don't fully know about that. But what I do know is that this standard is going to mean that traditional banks and fintechs, which means financial technology firms and certain cryptos, are going to all interoperate together. And the system is just about done, so they have to move to a new system, and it's going to a digital-based system, but it doesn't mean it's dystopian. It digital Decentralization in a digital way is the best way to protect our ID and protect our money if it's done right. And that right means fully decentralized.
Well, that's the key. And of
That
course,
is the key.
that's where the confusion arises, because if you're going to have digital currency and the government controls that, you're in the worst of all worlds.
Well, that's what a central bank digital currency will be, and that's what a
Yes.
lot of people fear. And a lot of people associate crypto with either that or Bitcoin, and they
Yes.
don't see all the other the sandboxes or beta testing of all these other currencies that are going on out there that
Because
might.
you can imagine with a digital currency controlled by the government,
Yeah, it
they
wouldn't
could
be good.
dictate what you spend your money on.
It would not be good because it's programmable money to
Yeah.
their design. And that means they can switch it on and off. That means that they can.
Oh, that's Rodney Hyde. We don't like him. He
Yeah.
protested last weekend in
That's
a
right.
unsanctioned protest, so he won't be able to buy a car. Or
Yeah.
he won't be able to buy groceries this week, or he'll only be able to buy certain foods that we deem healthy. And as you
Oh,
say,
good.
switch it off and debase it and devalue it, worse than what they do now. Whereas if it's running on a blockchain, no one in essence controls its supply or controls its usage. And of course, that's why the government's and the financial interests have to destroy it.
That's exactly right. That's why the banks are very activated now. That's why in America, the cryptos become extremely political now.
Because you
Because,
can imagine not needing banks.
yeah, well, that's it. That's the bank's greatest fear. So what they're doing is they're holding back crypto. They're the ones who are creating a lot of the scams and or proliferating them. People might
Yes.
know about FTX. FTX was an inside job. And
Yes, clearly.
basically, that creates the perception that crypto scam, but
Yep.
meanwhile, in the background, they are building out their own centralized blockchains to run CBDCs, to run other digital centralized digital ID systems, which we don't want. And so the only solution or the benefit for digital is we can do the exact opposite in digital. If they've got a fully digital world, the only, we can't fight it by denying it. We can't fight it by physically getting upset or throwing stones at our computer. That's not going to make it go away. We have to actually adopt the decentralized aspect of it. And the more of us that do that, the harder it's going to be stopped. And the more of us that do it, the more we'll experience what I'm experiencing, where I'm transacting with people around the world peer to peer without any middleman, without any oversight, without permission. And I can do it in a trusted way because I trust that crypto. I trust the blockchain it's based on because of my research and my knowledge. And this ISO standard is an API-driven application programming interface, which enables crypto to plug into the traditional system. This is what's going to facilitate what's called the Great Wealth Transfer. Money is like energy. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be created. It just is, but it can be transformed and it can be moved. And that's what actually blockchain and crypto are going to facilitate, a movement of the wealth of the world from the old dying analog system to a new digital system. Some of it will go centralized and some of it will go decentralized. And we're going to have the choice whether we want that CBDC or not. That's my view. There's enough, 600 million people already in the world who own crypto. It's political now because there's 85 million Americans who say, I want my crypto. Don't you dare block my
Yes.
crypto. And it's too big to stop now. It's too big to stop. And it's now.
Analogies are a very poor way of arguing, but they're helpful sometimes to see what is going on.
Yeah.
Because
And hopefully even better. Yeah.
while you were speaking, and bear in mind, I know nothing of this blockchain business, but it strikes me that this is a titanic battle,
Oh, yeah.
and it's much, much bigger than the battle that I'm about to describe, but it's the equivalent of this. We are used historically to a sort of free press, right? And
Yep.
we have newspapers and journalism and all the rest of it. And we'd always look sideways and tut, 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 dictatorships and communist regimes, because they didn't have a free press. What you could write and say was directly directed by the state. However, over time, governments and big corporates who get alongside with government in a sort of, you hesitate to use the word, but it's the actual correct use of it, in a fascist way, work hand in glove, and they have an enormous say over the media. And so your free press is somewhat less free than one would hope. And we saw this most dramatically in the COVID years. But if you'd ever been pushing a story that was counter the narrative, you knew exactly what it was. If you were arguing against climate change, you didn't get a leg in. If you were saying this treaty principle stuff is all bad news and is going to lead to violence, you wouldn't get a look in, because our so-called free press was not free. It was actually heavily regulated,
Bought and paid for.
bought and paid for. And then along comes X. Twitter originally, the internet originally. Oh, it's a good analogy. We had the internet, we had Twitter, and there was that explosion of freedom where we could talk to each other and write stories and point out the so-called lamestream or legacy media where they were wrong. And this freedom flourished. Well, how quick was it for governments to take control of these social media companies and, through algorithms and direct intervention, actually control us, control our peer-to-peer groups, and kill off free speech on the internet? That was extraordinary.
Yeah. And
I
this is
didn't believe it even if it was happening. Those Twitter files shocked me. Now, along comes,
censorship is a weapon.
along comes Elon Musk, and we have X, right?
Yeah.
Which, to some extent, we know that there are manipulations occurring, unsanctioned by him, I'm certain, but manipulations occurring by bad actors, i.e., governments that are manipulating. But we now have peer-to-peer news. We now have this flourishing of freedom. I get my news from X, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's really quite, it is, they've cleaned it up to some extent, yes.
Yes. Now, Facebook and Instagram and, oh my goodness, TikTok, they're actually controlled and directed by bad actors in government
Yeah.
to brainwash whatever. So now this is the analogy with money.
Yes.
Because we had gold, decentralized. Oh, how wonderful. We had gold-based currency, gold-backed currency. Then we had fiat money, but don't worry, it was democratically controlled. And then the governments couldn't help themselves, started running up debt, started printing money, and ultimately set up a system which God knows how it's lasted so long, because you always feel as though we're teetering on a brink.
Through them colluding together at the top and
Yes.
swapping ledgers and swapping
Yes.
balance
S
sheets.
so then we have crypto. And so, similar thing. They quickly learn how to get on top of Bitcoin.
You're leading to when you're talking about social media and the advent of social media, you're talking about another key aspect of crypto that a lot of people don't realize. Crypto, when you say cryptocurrency, it's a misnomer actually, because 98% of all cryptos are not currencies per se. They're not fiat replacement for cash. They are crypto digital assets. And when they issue a crypto, you're actually assuming you're of with a good platform like Chainlink, for example, you're getting that holding that crypto, or also known as a token or a coin, crypto coin, you're actually holding a digital shareholding in that business that's issued it. And that opens up what they call tokenization. And the tokenization means all assets, real world assets like gold, and that gold is right in the front line here. It's been tokenized and put on a blockchain so that we won't have this funny business of meddling, and
Yes.
we'll be able to spend. I believe there will be gold-backed digital currencies coming, and the BRICS have already signaled that that's what they want to do. It's a commodity. They're talking about commodity backing their digital currencies. You imagine what that will do to the West and the American hegemony and the US dollar. It will be fire. And that, I think, is what's coming. But tokenization of real estate, tokenization of any assets, current stocks, bonds, all their high-level stuff, they're doing it at pace now. Already. So think of crypto as a digital new type of asset that enables through its encryption to provide proof of title, proof of ownership, and ease of transfer. So I could sell my property to someone overseas instantly at the speed of light
Yes.
for in theory, no middleman at all, no lawyer, no conveyancing lawyer, no middlemen at all, because of these things called or digital contracts. Boom, done, dusted. Sending assets at the speed of light.
Are you suggesting, if I heard you correctly, and I'm sorry because part of me lost my way in that.
Yeah, it's quite a bit to take in there, so
A big
feel
part
free
of
to
me
back
lost my
up.
way. That cryptocurrency, I don't know, is it a misnomer? Tokens will ultimately, in a decentralized way, as good money drives out the bad, will
Exactly.
end up actually having real assets such as land and gold backing them.
Correct.
Wow.
And that is going to be the great leveler. That is going to eliminate a lot of problems and friction in the society. You will not be able to get away with this incessant money printing forever. It'll mean that we can guarantee ownership of our property without it being stolen, because once it's put in an encrypted way, you can prove you're the owner
So
of
you
it.
can imagine having 10 hectares of land in New Zealand.
Sorry?
You have 10 hectares of land in New Zealand, and that's part of the asset being held by the crypto exchange.
The crypto, so much, the crypto, the blockchain, you could say, it's held by that particular project's blockchain in their encrypted vault, not in the cloud. Not where
Yes.
it can be stolen out of the cloud. It's held in an encrypted way. So no one has actually been able to hack the actual blockchain directly. It's very, very secure.
So
And
this is the biggest push for freedom.
it is the biggest push of freedom when you put when you add in these other technologies that are swirling around, like artificial intelligence. If artificial intelligence goes fully centralized with Microsoft and Google, we're in trouble.
Oh,
But
we
if
can see that
that
already. Yeah.
see the applications of decentralized blockchain are far-reaching. As I say, I've just mentioned tokenization. I mentioned crypto and creating crypto and digital currencies is just the first application of blockchain. But you imagine when it reaches things like media. You talked about media before, and no free press or very. They're going to create. They're already There's about 40 different projects, decentralized social media. I'm actually participating in some of them. No censorship. It's completely free speech. You can buy the token of that crypto if you like, but you actually get incentivized to get paid to post. They're not harvesting your data and selling it back to you like Facebook. That's how Facebook or any big tech have got very big and very, very rich, because of us, and particularly our data. They harvest our data and then sell it back to us. And because they've got access to the money printer or the people behind that, and they've got all the benefits in their own hand. With decentralization, that removes that single point of failure or that single point of corruption. And we can have the applications for blockchain are as wide as every aspect of life we've got.
Central governments around the world and banks and corporations are fighting for their lives.
They are. That's why the chaos is in the world. The chaos is reactionary, it is not proaction.
Yes, they're fighting for their lives and they might win.
They might.
Or they might lose.
I think that on that point, it will depend on your perspective and your perception, as to and your ability to adapt and adopt certain technologies and a mindset that give you other, like I'd say, a different reality, or can I say a parallel reality or a
Yeah.
parallel economy, or just cutting into that quantum physics arena again. It's not going to be the same for everyone. We are not all in the same boat. We are all in different boats, but we are in the same storm.
Yeah. Because you can imagine, and I imagine this is where you're heading, living completely off the grid in terms of how you live physically and how you live financially.
Yeah, well, I sort of am because I live in a lifestyle block where I grow a lot of my own food. I have my own water supply. I'll soon have my own energy supply. I've got my own money supply. I've been living off my crypto for the last couple of years. It's topped me up in because my other business hasn't done so well since COVID. So I'm actually a living example and proof of someone that can exit the matrix. I've still got a foot in the matrix because, you can't completely, but it's an evolution. It's a movement that I am, I'm on the edge of completely breaking out. And
And
so,
you could imagine you trading, and you need eggs, and the fella down the road's got eggs, and you can imagine buying his or her eggs using a token.
we do that with our neighbors actually now. Which is,
Isn't that something?
yeah, it totally is.
Because it's the opposite. It's old school. It's using the technology to go old school.
And I don't, I'm old school myself, and I do not want to give up my, I have to make it clear that as I say, I'm not a technologist and I'm not intending to disappear into the digital world or the metaverse, as it's called. I am only intending to use the digital world to secure my money and my ownership and my identification. And I want to operate in the real natural world. And we can have the best of both worlds. And we can create real good communities, because if a community has its security intact, it has its, say, its own secure money supply. The data of the community is kept safe. People's identifications kept safe. You've got a community then that can flourish. Our communities are not flourishing because we're attached to a sick system with this money debasement, like we went before. And so we're just going down with the ship. Like we said at the beginning, production is the real economy, and we work hard for our money. We exchange our energy and labor for this money that is not serving us. We
No.
need to go back to a proper medium of exchange of, it's basically a currency is a medium of exchange, but things like gold, silver, and land are stores of value. And if we can't store our value in good quality assets like that, we are screwed. And this is where crypto comes in. The blockchain can secure our stores of value very well.
So, as I understand it, all my freedom-loving friends use Signal to communicate.
Yep. I
And
use.
as I understand it, that's preferred because it's away from prying eyes and decentralized.
It is encrypted.
So you can imagine you're living your life, you're working away, you've got your own energy supply. And, living the good life, able to survive what's to come. You're chatting around the world on Signal, but you go one extra step because someone on Signal's got something or can offer some service that you need, and you need to do an exchange. You don't need to enter back into government-controlled world because you can use a token.
Correct. That's
So
exactly right.
you've added to Signal the ability to buy and sell, say, in an equivalent way,
And that's
off
what
the
Elon
grid.
Musk has signaled he wants to do with X.
Yes. And of course, we applaud him, but we worry. Because he's so out there in terms of God knows what.
He's
You
so
need it.
mature. He is such an enigma, Elon Musk.
Enigma.
There's two sides to Elon Musk, and I don't trust I don't care how good a talk they talk. I won't trust anyone now, any authority,
No.
anyone at all until they verify that they can be trusted, till they're trustworthy. A lot of those people are not worthy of our trust. This is why I come back to technology, because we can secure trust with those protocols that
Yes.
work all time, every time, never have a downtime. They can be trusted. Whether we trust our email, we trust that when we surf the web, we get the results we want. These basic protocols that we've
How,
created.
I'm talking to Tony Knight, known as Crypto Knight. How do I follow you and keep up with the stuff, Tony?
I have a group, Krypton Knight, spelt with a K, Krypton, KYRPTONE, and then Knight, KNIGHT, so my full surname. I have a private group on Facebook where people can then we can talk there. I also have a website called DeFiFreedom.nz.
Oh, it's
People
tough.
can
Tell us
go in
again
there.
slowly. Tell us slowly.
DeFi and
If
then
I, yeah,
freedom, all one
freedom.
word, dot NZ. And that is my website where people can sign up for free. We give you a bit of fair bit of free stuff. I go around the country. I've been speaking to a lot of offline groups lately because I find that better. Yeah, people can email me by KryptonKnight@ProtonMail. And I'm just at the verge now where I see the scenarios coming much closer, and I'm getting my message out there a bit louder and a bit bolder. I kind of done enough research now, and I'm ready to.
Great. Well, I've got your webpage, defifreedom.nz, DEFI, DeFi, and then the word freedom, no dots, defifreedom.nz. I'll make a study of it. Look, I can't say at times I lost my way
It's
because.
natural. It's always. I still sometimes lose my way myself. I mean, there's
Yeah.
not. It's a big topic, and there's a lot to it.
But are we living in a most remarkable, compressed time?
We are living in the most incredible times that when we look back on these times, they will say that this is history in the making. And
History.
what I intend to be is on the right side of history.
Yeah, because.
Be a good human, and basically do no harm is my mantra. The basis of common law is do no harm.
There we go. We've been talking to Tony Knight. A lot to take in. If he's willing, I think we're going to need Tony back to talk more because this stuff matters.
It so matters when the fact it's not conjecture. I'm not making my own beliefs here. This is about a discovery of what's happening. It's not making stuff up.
No.
And
There we go.
we
You're
can,
on rep, right?
so I was going to say open banking is we can go down the whole open banking, and I can show you how the system are going to market it to us. And there's many, many aspects of this to
And it's
make.
to know the good stuff from the bad stuff because there'll be a disguise, right?
There is a lot. This is why knowledge is power when it's applied. And this is why I say that it's not just something that we can just pick up just like that, because it's a paradigm shift. It's a
We've
complete
got it,
paradigm.
Tony. We got a wee insight. You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. We've been talking to Tony Knight. We sort of pulled back the veil a little bit and we peered in. Maybe there are people listening that know a lot more. But I think we're going to have to explore this because we need to understand it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But as Tony says, this is history. You can send me a text at 2057, email me inbox at realitycheck.radio. What a world we're living in.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.